To Applebee's today, and a whole bunch of us. I think there was 314 halls and other names there. I'm kidding. They won't hold that many. Joyce, don't get excited. But it took them a while to get all of us seated and served, and we had us a great time and celebrating Faye's birthday. We were going to take her to the Mexican restaurant, but she didn't want whipped cream all over her face, because that's what they do when you have a birthday there. But so she worked that out. Anyway, we had a great day. I hope everybody has had a good day and has a great week planned. You better pull out your parka. You're going to need that come early Tuesday morning and again Wednesday morning early. You're going to need something really warm to wear because it's going to be cold. Winter is getting here early. It just summer stayed late and winter came early. Welcome to the Tennessee Valley. We can complain about it and fuss about it, even murmur about it, Stan, but it won't do a bit of good. We just may as well just take it and smile. Almost everyone likes a party. I hate to say almost everyone. There's some folks that don't like parties, evidently. Some folks just don't like parties. Some folks are weird. Some folks just don't seem to have a good sense of humor and don't understand what a good time is. When this church gets together for fun, for a fellowship meal or a fun activity. This Saturday, we got this bonfire out here. It's going to be great. It's going to be chilly that evening, in the 50s during the day and in the 40s that night. But upper 30s, I guess. But around that bonfire, man, you bring your camp chairs and your marshmallows and your s'more fixings and your hot dogs and chili and all the other good stuff that goes with it. And we're just going to have ourselves a grand time. We'll have a Devo around the fire. We'll sing. We'll pray. We'll consider a short message from God's Word and just have a great period of fellowship together Saturday night. So I hope everybody will plan to be here for that. It'll be cool, but that's okay. Bring your jacket. Bring your lawn chair. And you can always turn around and warm up by the fire. And so we'll look forward to that. But a party is such a fun time. Almost everyone associates heaven with a celebration. It's like a party. It's a homecoming. That's what heaven is really going to be like. We talk about rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents, over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Joy in heaven. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is described as a banquet, as a feast, a celebration, a party. That's what it is. Heaven is also described as a wedding supper. And boy, I'll tell you, in India, when they have a wedding, buddy, they put on the dog. Now, I don't mean that literally. It's not dog, okay? But I mean, they really pull out all the stops when they have a feast over there at a wedding. And it's some really good food, and they serve a bunch of it. That's what weddings are all about. It's a great celebration of joy as two people come together. Well, the church is the bride of Christ. And so we're looking forward to going to heaven for this incredible wedding supper. The Bible is filled with imagery of parties. But it's possible to miss a party. We know the story of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 foolish ones didn't bring extra oil, and they missed the party. The door was shut. The party began. And they come knocking on the door, but it's too late. They're on the outside. You can miss the party. In our story tonight from Luke 15, we find a man that has 2 sons, a man of some means, some wealth. And his younger son, instead of waiting for his father to pass so he can inherit, says, I want my inheritance now. I'm not willing to wait for you to die, old man. Give me what's coming to me. Now this father, pretty unusual father. What would most fathers typically do in a case like that? Boy, I tell you what, good luck. Get out and make it on your own. Hope you enjoy it. But this father gives him his inheritance. And it's not long after that boy grabs up everything and takes off to a far country. And there he wastes everything. Young people often don't have Please forgive me, those of you that are considered young people. If you consider yourself a young person, good for you. But a lot of young folks don't have hardly sense enough to get in out of the rain when it comes to knowing how to take care of themselves. A lot of younger folks. And they don't seem to understand consequences and all of that. A lot of young folks are like that. A lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And this is one reason why the Bible admonishes us to pay attention to the wisdom of those that are older than us. To learn from God so we can know how we should live. How we should conduct ourselves. So here this young man takes everything he's got, and instead of being wise with what he's got, he wastes it on wild living. Riotous living is what it's called. Wastes everything he's got. And then the friends that he had, when the money ran out, so did they. Now he's got nothing. He's got no one. He's in a far country. He's a long way from home. What's he going to do? He joins himself to a citizen of that country who feeds pigs. Now Jesus is a Jew talking to Jews, and so it's evident that this is a Jewish boy who's relegated to feeding pigs, an animal that is forbidden among the people of God. There were no pigs in Jerusalem. You didn't have them. Farmers didn't raise pigs there. Now, I love bacon, but they didn't have any bacon. They had lots of beef. They probably had brisket, but they didn't have any bacon. There was no pigs anywhere in that land. So he's in this far country, and he's feeding pigs. And he's so hungry, he would eat the pods, these near inedible plants. He would eat these things that the pigs are eating, but there wasn't anything given to him. And he's starving to death. And so the boy just reaches rock bottom. And buddy, when he hit rock bottom, all he could do was look up. And he said, "What am I doing? I'm dying over here. In my father's house, there is food. Every servant, the most humble servant, the poorest of my father's servants, has food that he can throw away. Food and to spare. And here I am, dying from hunger. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go home. But I'm not going home as a son. I'm not going home as a conquering hero. I'm not going home as I'll be home for Christmas. No, I'm not going home as some sort of a celebrity. I'm going home to beg for my life. I'm going home to ask my father, to beg my father to make me as one of his hired servants. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me your servant. Just save my life. Just spare my life. That's all I'm asking." The boy came to himself, the Bible says. Came to himself. And he went home. Now, we know the story. Here's this father. He sees the boy coming from a long way off. Long way off. He comes coming home. And he ran to meet him. Charles Hodge, in his book, Will God Run, one of the greatest books that's ever been written by man, gives the story of this parable in a book form. And one thing that he pointed out from the history and the culture of those people is that old men don't run. Old men do not run. Not only is it undignified, it's unhealthy. Because old men don't have the balance of young athletes. And they could fall and tear their body up. Old men don't run. But this old man ran. When he saw his son coming home, he ran. He ran to meet him. And he fell on his neck. And he kissed him. Can you imagine the joy of that old man as he saw his son that, to him, he was dead, but it was alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. But you can see the old boy, the little guy, he pushes. I mean, he's skinny, he's feeble-looking, he's ragged, he looks older than he did when he left. And he pushes away the generosity of his father, and he says, "Wait a minute, wait a minute." And he tries to do the rehearsed speech he's rehearsed. He says, "I am no more worthy to be called your son. Please make me as one of your hired servants." And the boy couldn't even finish his speech. Daddy interrupted him and yelled back to the house, "Send for the robe. Send for the ring. Send for the shoes for my boy. Kill the fatted calf and make a feast, for my son was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive again. And they went in and they made this feast, and the party began, and there was music and there was dancing and there was celebration like we can't even imagine. There are stories of soldiers, particularly during the Vietnam era. They were lost. They were missing in action. Presumed dead. At worst, presumed dead. Great fear is that they were POWs. Missing in action. Reports would come home. We're sorry about your son. We're sorry about your husband. He's lost. We presume that he's a POW. Or at best, he was killed in action. KIA. And we are sorry for your loss. And that was the end of it. And there are stories of how several of these presumed dead soldiers somehow managed to find their way home. They got out of that jungle. They got to an embassy or a base or some friendly source and got away back to the United States and showed up at the door of Mama's house. And there they were. They were dead. But now they're alive again. Amazing stories of survival and hope that was made real, that came to life. And no doubt that must be how that man felt as they welcomed that boy home. Now that is the introduction. Now for the story. Or as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. What about the older brother? Said a man had two sons, and the youngest one took his goods and he left home. And that's meant that the elder brother got his 2/3 of the family estate. He inherited what his father was going to give him at his death. He inherited the rest of it, the balance, the family farm, and all that went with it belongs solely to him. And daddy's alive. Daddy's alive, but it belongs to the boy. The boy's still working, still serving his dad, but he is the owner. He's the owner of it all. The father said so. But when he comes in from working in the field, and that's what this boy did, he worked. He stayed home and he worked. While his younger brother was out gallivanting and having a grand old time, he's home sweating. He's home getting tired and sore, hurting himself, exhausted every day, coming home from work and lying down, resting at night, getting up and starting over the same thing the next day, day after day after day, faithfully serving. And this boy comes home from work that night and he hears a celebration in the house. He calls a servant. He says, "What is going on?" "Oh, your brother's come home. Your brother has come home. He is home. Your father has killed the fatted calf. He's called for a robe. He's called for shoes. He's called for a ring. And he's killed the fatted calf." Now, this was reserved for special occasions. And the boy says, "Oh, my, my." And he would not go in. He just sat out there and pouted. He didn't want he wouldn't come in and get a chicken leg or nothing. He didn't want to see his brother. He just sat out there and pouted in the dark. Now, brethren, I have known some people with a martyr complex. Some people that would choose to sit out in the dark and pity themselves, have themselves their own little pity party, instead of celebrating and rejoicing and letting go of their little pettiness, they would rather sit in the dark by themselves and pout. That's what they would do. And that's exactly what this boy did. He sits in the dark and he pouts. Well, daddy hears that his other son has come home. He goes out and finds the boy. Goes out and finds him. He says, "Man, come on in, your brother. He says, yeah, let me tell you something. Your son, yours, he doesn't call him my brother. He says, your son wasted his substance on harlots. Now, first of all, they didn't have Twitter, Facebook, or the National Enquirer. So how would he know what that boy did in the far country? He wouldn't. All he did was reveal his own heart, what he would do if he had gone to the far country. He wasted his substance on harlots, and now you have killed the fatted calf. You have welcomed him back as your son. And I've been here all along. Why, you wouldn't even give me as much as a goat to have a party with my friends. If I wanted to have a little private barbecue, you wouldn't even give me a goat. And you've killed the fatted calf for him. Yeah, I see how this is going. I see who your favorite is. He said, son, all that I have belongs to you. He got his inheritance. All that I have belongs to you. But your brother was dead. He was gone. He was dead. And now he's alive. But the boy wouldn't go in. Even with that, he would not go in. He missed the party. Why would he do that? Can you help me understand that? Why would he do that? Why would he choose to miss the party? Why would he just stay outside? I'll tell you why. He didn't understand his father's kindness, for one thing. Didn't understand it. It does seem like a raw deal when you think about it. This boy takes a third of the family estate and leaves home and wastes every bit of it. Can you imagine if somebody in your family took a third of your whole estate and then just wasted it? Can you imagine how you'd feel about that? You know, it's kind of a raw deal, I'm sure. And yet the younger brother goes out and sows his wild oats and has himself what he considers to be a party. And so this young man is as undeserving as anybody could be. And yet his father showed kindness and compassion to him and forgave him. I'm wondering if maybe the older brother is thinking, yo, so this is how it is. You run away, you waste all the money, you come home, and you have yourself a party. That just doesn't even make sense to him. And instead of considering the virtue of what his father has done, he sees it as weakness on the part of his father, not doing right. Well, the least you could do is make him go to his room without supper. You'd think, just send him to his room without supper at least. But no, you kill the fatted calf. You give him a party like he's a conquering hero. He didn't understand his father's kindness. Second, he didn't understand the change that had taken place in his little brother. His little brother left home a spoiled little brat. A spoiled little rich kid. His brother left home with the world on his, you know, right beside him in the car. Buddy, he's got the whole world in his hands. And he leaves home like that, controlling everything. My life is mine. I'll do as I please. And he comes back an utterly broken and humble man who has the heart of a servant, who is willing to serve to survive. He's not seeking glory. He's not seeking personal recognition. He is not seeking to be restored to his former position. He is simply seeking to survive. This is a changed man who's been humbled by the realities of life. And all of us have seen changes like that in people, and I'm sure even in our own lives, with things that we've experienced, with problems that we have faced, struggles that we've had. We have seen the changes in our own lives. We're not the same people we were when we were younger. Every one of us have changed. Every one of us have become someone different than what we used to be. And thank God that He recognizes that. Thank God He allows us to change. He allows us to grow, to become something more than what we once were. But this younger brother, or this older brother, he didn't accept that. The attitude of the older brother is, he left home saying, give me. And now he's coming home saying, forgive me. And that's what the boy's doing. He left home saying, give me. He's coming home saying, forgive me. And the older brother just can't understand that. He doesn't think about the young boy as changing. You know, the younger son did experience a party in the far country, but it was an imitation of what he was experiencing now. The party he's experiencing now is real. And it's something that it just makes that other stuff pale in comparison. And that's something we have to look forward to in heaven. We have some good times here. Our Christmas party's coming up next month. We always have a great time with that. Old Santa Claus back there, he'll keep things going for us, keep things rocking. You know I'm talking to you. And we'll have us a grand old time. It's going to be so much fun. The bonfire coming up this weekend. Our all-in-ones that are coming up. You know, we've got an all-in-one coming up on the 29th of December. That's going to be a great way to end the year. Going to be a great time. We'll have a lot of fun. But we hadn't seen nothing yet. Heaven is going to be the biggest party of all. And I don't want to miss that for anything. I don't want to be sitting on the outside, knocking on the door, trying to get in. Because there'll be no admission once that door is shut. Well, this boy didn't understand his father's kindness. He didn't understand the change in his brother. And he did not understand his own position. He didn't understand his own needs. First of all, nothing that he has is going to be taken away. It all belongs to him. Whatever privileges he had are still his. There's a proverb in our country that says, righteousness is its own reward. You stay faithful and you serve and you keep doing the work that you're supposed to do, it will bring its own reward. You know, if you never go off to the far country, if you never go out and sow wild oats, if you continue to be a faithful child of God all the days of your life, you avoid so much pain, so much suffering, so many scars, so many consequences. You avoid all of that. Righteousness has its own reward. This boy never had to go hungry. He never had to face poverty and possible death in a far country. He was home where it was safe. He had his bed to sleep in every night. He was warm at night, had clean clothes to wear, had good food to eat, surrounded by people that cared about him. That younger fellow was off by himself. And when the money ran out, everything good ended for him. That's what happens in the far country. And the second thing is, this boy thought his behavior is good, but rather than the attitude of his heart can only be described as sinful. The attitude, the resentment, the bitterness that he held in his heart, the lack of forgiveness, the lack of compassion was nothing short of sin. And he too needed the same mercy from his father that his younger brother had received. The party, brethren, is a celebration of grace. It's a gift, and it's a gift that this boy could have. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it says, in Christ, or in whom, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. This older brother was just as much in need of forgiveness as the younger brother was. Just as much. Just as much. In chapter 2 of Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This younger, older brother, he couldn't boast about staying home and being faithful. He still needed grace. He still needed that, because no matter how much good you do, you still sin. And his sin became evident by his attitude and his refusal to go into the party. When you then consider also what Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 have to say, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace has been offered. God's grace has been offered. And yet grace makes demands. Grace demands that you have an understanding heart, a forgiving heart, compassionate heart, that you got to treat your fellow man right. If you want God to give you His grace, you got to treat your fellow man right. This older brother needed grace, but he wouldn't have it. He would not have it. He would not have it because he would not go into the party. He would not forgive his brother. He would not accept him back. He would not be compassionate upon him, so he would not enjoy the party because he wouldn't go in. I don't want to miss the party. Do you? Do you want to miss the party? We have to be loving. We have to be forgiving. We have to be patient and tolerant with each other when we mess up. When the younger brother comes home, we must forgive him. And we must not just sit out in the dark and pout and expect God to come to us and say, "Please, please, won't you forgive your brother?" God don't beg. God doesn't beg. He implores. He beseeches. But he doesn't beg. It's up to you. It was the choice of this older brother whether he would go in or not. He chose to stay out. And he was so angry, he missed all the fun. He missed the celebration. He was not shut out of the banquet hall. He simply wouldn't go in. But here's the difference in this story in heaven. Those that will not go into the party here will not be allowed into heaven there. And the door will be shut. And we will not get in if we're not willing to go to the party here. If we're not willing to love and to forgive, to celebrate with those that rejoice and to weep with those that weep, if we're not willing to do that, if we have the attitude of the older brother, some sort of self-righteous arrogance that stand, and we feel like we're better than someone else, that we should be treated better than someone else, if we ever have that, allow ourselves to have that attitude, we're sitting outside in the dark and we're refusing to be a part of the party. I'm going to tell you something. There was a place set for that boy at the table. No doubt, perhaps even his plate had been filled with food. Maybe even saved him a piece of cake. If only he had the sense to go in. Do we have the sense to go to the party? The kingdom of God is like a banquet. If you're not a member of God's family, you're missing out. You're not in the party. You're sitting out in the dark. Come to Jesus. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you've already done that, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, rededicate your life to Him. Don't miss the party. Don't be like the five foolish virgins waiting too long to get ready. And don't be like the elder brother, just stubborn and refusing to comply to his father's wishes. Come into the party. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.